online.
That's there between an enlisted people and an officer. We're on time, they're late.
That's probably true.
I'm going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Veterans Services and Emergency Preparedness for Thursday, March 5th, to order. On the first item of business, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2892. Would you please read the background on that bill? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 2892 requires procurement and display of the National League of Families POW MIA flag on all state buildings and county courthouses. Not have a fiscal revenue impact this time. There's no subsequent referral.
Representative Escobar, please introduce yourself.
For the record, Sal Escobar, representing District 6. Mr. Chair,
thank you.
Fellow committee members. This bill is brought forth by an individual in my community that had done some tours of the United States and found out that we as a state, even when we were supposed to, we had 6 days we're supposed to fly the POW MIA flag, but we were not adhering to that. And he went to a state that they fly it continually, which is something I think we need to take a good hard look at and pass. And the reason being, he's going to have a presentation here, but just for your information, there's still over 83,000 men and women that are still missing. We don't know where their remains are. We don't know anything about them. So this is something that I think we need to do as veterans, not only as veterans, but as prior service people and current service people. We can't leave behind or forget our own. I think it's in the spirit of not only the military, but I think it's the spirit of this committee itself. Have any questions?
Thank you. Representative Peloso, do you have any questions for
I do not.
Oh, she does not.
You will see that you have an amendment, and the amendment is to help schools and so on and so forth that do not have the infrastructure in place, so they immediately don't have to run out and purchase infrastructure. Just in the state alone, it would have been around $500,000 just to do that. And so consequently, we rewrote that because we didn't want to infringe upon schools. So from this day forth, when we pass this, that day forth, they have to have the proper infrastructure when they redo something or they rebuild something or if they build a new building. So it is part of this. But if they can accommodate it with clips, get the flag underneath an Oregon flag and or the United States flag, we would preferably have all three of them at one place, but if they don't have the third flagpole, they should clip it underneath one of the existing ones. So should be very compatible with what we have today. And the other thing is the individual that's coming up here named Hugh Crawford, you will find that he has a flag that he would like to donate to us. It's a POW MIA flag. And when we pass this, he would certainly like to have it flown over the Capitol here.
Thank you. Questions? Nope. Thank you for bringing this forward, Representative. So, Mr. Hugh Crawford. And there's one other, Ken Kraft. You want to come up at the same time? Please just introduce yourself for the record before you start.
My name's Hugh Crawford. I'm with Veterans Affairs, Post 1833 down in Medford, Oregon.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Boone, Vice Chair Escobar, and committee members, good afternoon. I'm with Post 1833, Veterans Affairs, VFCW, excuse me. I'm representing over 57,000 members of veterans groups in Oregon supporting House Bill 2892, requiring that the POW MIA flag be flown at the state capitol and other public buildings in Oregon 24/7, 365 days a year. The POW MIA flag serves as a reminder to today's men and women in uniform that if they become prisoners of war or missing in action, they will not be forgotten. It also assures the families who are missing from the past that we remember and respect their loved ones, and the citizens of Oregon will fly this flag till all missing are captured or returned to the home they defended with honor. The Oregon State Capitol currently flies the POWMI flag 6 days a year as mandated by the 105th Congress in 1998. We feel there's a need to show a more appropriate and proper respect in Oregon for Americans who are listed as prisoners of war or missing in action. They are not just prisoners of war or MIAs 6 days a year. They are prisoners of war or POWs, MIAs, 365 days a year. On a personal note, I was a helicopter door gunner in the Vietnam War. I helped search for missing crews without success. I never forgot the feeling of loss and the thoughts of what those crews had gone through. Years later, I met a family member of a missing crew from my company, and I know from her accounts what it felt like when her loved one was never found. I think that the least Oregon can do for their 98 missing warriors and their families is to fly this flag 24/7, 365 days a year. The importance of the POWMI flag lies in its constant reminder of the plight of American POWs and MIAs from all wars, including those now ongoing. These Americans did not come home from the field of battle, but as the motto states, they are gone but not forgotten. Dying for freedom isn't the worst that can happen. Being forgotten is. I want to point out to you that you've been provided with statistics in regards to the amount of POWs and MIAs we have in America that is attached to the last page of the information regarding the veterans groups supporting this bill. I'm providing you with statistics showing that there is over 83,000 U.S. military personnel currently missing in action. 98 of them are from Oregon. These are from World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, Cold War, Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom, and Enduring Freedom. Also included with your statistics are the numbers and letters of support from the veterans groups supporting this bill. Please look at them. There are some impressive numbers. I'm not going to read all the statistics to you. You have them. You can read them. There's just a couple of points I want to point out. That there are 83,342 missing in action from America, and that's since World War II. Oregon has 98 of them. I have gone to the veterans groups listed on your statistics sheet, and this represents in support from these veterans groups that 57,645 veterans in Oregon support this bill. On my behalf of myself and the other veterans supporting this bill, we thank you for your time and consideration. Does anyone have any questions of me?
Any questions for Mr. Crawford? Thank you very much for taking the time to testify.
My name is Ken Kraft, the Oregon State Judge Advocate, Veterans of Foreign Wars. It's an honor to be here today speaking before you. I speak for this bill. I had the opportunity to serve as Foreign Affairs National Defense on the national level with the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and back east we actually flew in for the first time a three-star general, Lieutenant General from North Vietnam, and at the first occasion since the war he spoke to us, you know, last year, and it was very interesting to see the room full of Vietnam vets when this highly decorated general walked in. And for the negotiation part of this piece, they could not understand why America wanted its men and women back so hard. The culture didn't understand it. But they came around, and they were actually stood with us, saying they support this as well. So if North Vietnam is also supporting this mission. Now, the reason why I'm talking more North Vietnam than I am the others in particular is we have active missions all across the world with JPAC looking for these young men and women to bring them home. But the soil conditions of Vietnam are such that the body deterioration is much faster than it is in Northern Europe and other parts. Mm. So this mission is active. It's going on worldwide. We're not going to stop. So it's something we really would hope that Oregon would jump on board with and be positive. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you both very much for testifying. Is there anybody else that wishes to testify on this point? Just want to say I appreciate all of you that showed up in support of the bill and have brought this with Representative Esquivel to our attention. Mr. Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like all the veterans in the audience to stand up. And I just want to thank each and every one of you because we couldn't be up here speaking our minds if it wasn't for people like you. Thank you. The other thing is, I think that this is not only a great cause, a good cause, but it's a great cause. I'm going to give you an example. At home, there's a fellow named Joe Brett. Many of us at home have seen him on TV. He's a sports announcer. And we're talking about another project we're doing down there. That's a replica of the Vietnam Wall. And Joe said, make sure to let him know, because unbeknownst to me, his brother, on his first mission, was shot down in Laos. And they found him 29 and a half years later. But we never gave up. That's what we can't do.
Thank you. Anything else? Any other questions or comments by the committee at this point? Okay. Not, I will close the public hearing. And again, thank you all for supporting and what you've done and continue to do. We appreciate it greatly.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So I'm going to, excuse me, now open a public hearing on House Bill 2839. Mr. Administrator.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2839 allows employers to claim a tax credit for employing a qualified military veteran as specified. This applies to the tax years beginning on or after 1 January 2015 and before January 1, 2021. There may be a fiscal and revenue impact, but no statement has been issued at this time.
Okay. Representative Evans.
Chair Lightly, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paul Evans. I am proud to represent House District 20, Independence, Monmouth, West Salem, South Salem, the prettiest district in the state. Guess I'll try to get in there quickly.
They want my vote.
There we go. I'm here today, second prettiest, I meant, or third or fourth or fifth. I'm here today to ask for your thoughtful consideration of House Bill 2839. This bill is a straightforward bill that seeks to implement a real incentive for employers. It's a phased tax credit for businesses that rewards employers that both recruit and retain. That's the fundamental difference about this bill than many across the country. The bill recognizes the work of other states and some of the challenges faced by similarly intended bills across the state. And ultimately, I hope that this bill will provide sufficient incentives to help the reintegration of the folks that are coming back and getting home to have a chance at restarting a life. If you look at the bill, it's a four-year horizon, and the goal is that in some states there have been some efforts to hire veterans, and fortunately there was not as much of an incentive to retain the veterans after they were hired. So in some cases, businesses have been able to claim a credit successive years, but with different veterans. And one-year work histories are not terribly helpful sometimes to get a job. This is designed to basically say that we recognize there are some adjustment costs potentially with hiring veterans, that at the end of the day, a 2, 3, or 4 year relationship for that veteran is both good for the business and good for the vet. And at the 4 year mark, if the vet and the business haven't kind of baked in together, then at least there's a work history that can follow that veteran when they go somewhere else. Again, it does not get in the way of employers' ability to hire, fire, do all those things. It's simply an incentive to try to help make hiring returning veterans just a little bit more possible. And that's the point of the bill.
Questions for Representative Evans?
Sure, go right ahead.
Representative Evans, you've been around this committee since I've been on this committee, I think. But is it not true that the private sector actually adheres more toward working toward the veterans than the public sector?
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Esquel, I think that that's absolutely true. There are some federal agencies, without naming names, post office, that are not terribly good at actually making sure.
Initials of post office?
Something like that. The problem that we're getting into now, though, and we've actually talked about this issue several successive sessions, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, as they wind down, and some of the costs that we didn't necessarily take care of in terms of support systems or effective reintegration for some, have manifest, and there is a growing stigma in some cases for hiring veterans. And this is an attempt to try to help ease some of that stigma. Most employers not only recognize the value of hiring a veteran, but I am aware of a growing program called SERV. It's actually working with veterans to try and work with employers so that the skill sets that have been taught in the military service are actually utilized more effectively. In some cases, however, there is enough of a stigma that it is getting in the way of hiring some of the veterans. So this is designed to help incentivize. Again, as is the case most of the time, we're here talking about either the bad actors or the actors that need incentivized, not all the good folks that are out there doing what we would all appreciate. But it is a recognizable stigma that I'm concerned that with as ISIS and other missions continue to flow that are page 25 or page 30 in the news instead of page 1, that we need to keep our eye on the ball and try this out.
Thank you. Anything else? I think there's, I know at this session, but there have been efforts in continuing some of the education discussions about how we make sure they get recognized for the skills that they've acquired and that they transfer or recognize when they get a chance for hiring. I think that's part of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we've worked on that several sessions on making that plateau equal, because if you're 2 years as an MP, that means to me you're 2 years as a police officer. It may not be the same training, but it's going to be real close. And these people should have the opportunity to be interviewed first and foremost, and that should count towards their job application, I would think.
Chair Lively, members of the committee, I absolutely agree. This is one piece of the larger puzzle. The education piece is certainly important. What's going on with recognition of courses that are taught through military training and the alignment to workforce development is certainly important as well.
Yeah. Anything else? Thank you, Representative Evans. Cameron Smith.
Good afternoon, Chair Lively, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Cameron Smith, the director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and appreciate Representative Evans bringing this forward, raising this issue of veterans employment forward, and for the committee taking some time today to discuss. One of the things, you know, and I think the point that we ended on, this is one of the tools in a diverse toolbox to get our veterans reintegrated back home and fully employed. The data has been difficult, even just trying to pull up Oregon-specific data out of the Employment Department to bring today. Sometimes a challenge, and feels like the data is back to 2012 and always shifting year to year. What I was able to pull up in terms of national data more easily, the unemployment rate for post 9/11 veterans in 2014, at the end of 2014, was approximately 7.2%. For all citizens nationwide, the unemployment rate was 6.2%. So we do see. And some of that is affected by age, and when you compare post 9/11 to their similar age component, it narrows a little bit. But generally, Oregon veterans have had a higher unemployment rate than nationwide veterans, similar to all citizens in Oregon. The one interesting component was veterans of all eras have an unemployment rate of 4.5% at the end of 2014. And to me, that speaks to it is a challenging reintegration when you come home, but our veterans do have that strength of leadership, core values, and skills, both for public employers, private employers, everyone in between, and make great employees. And it is that search, whether a public employer or a private employer, looking for talent and high-quality human capital, no better place to find that than in our veterans and military families. So we think this could be one tool in the toolbox and would also emphasize, in terms of the veterans, making sure that we provide the coaching and guidance to translate their skills, what we know they have but need to translate them as they transition, and then also helping employers, public and private, to understand those transferable strengths. And really, the programs that I would call out on those two fronts, through the Employment Department and a strong partnership, U.S. Department of Labor dollars flow down to the Employment Department. The Disabled Veteran Outreach Program that's specifically focused on disabled veterans and helping ease that transition on employment and giving that coaching and guidance. And where they've had trouble maintaining the federal funds has been on the local veteran employment reps, so they call them the DVOPs and the leavers. Only, I think, two leavers now across the state, but those were the folks that were supposed to be linking to the companies to be able to say, this is what our veterans have to offer, and then the DVOPs were helping get those vets linked to those same employers. But another tool in the toolbox, and we just appreciate the leadership skills and core values that our veterans have and bring back to their employees or employers. And happy to take any questions.
Questions? Representative Epstein.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. You said that our veterans had a higher rate of unemployment than the rest of the nation. But is that in conjunction with the fact that Oregon has one of the higher rates of unemployment? I mean, that's
Chair Lively, representative at School
pretty much solid, especially
Oregon veterans compared to veterans nationwide, and it is a similar all Oregonians compared to citizens nationwide. It is a higher.
Our gap's bigger.
Correct.
Okay, because I just wanted to clarify that because I know that our unemployment rate is high okay. for the nation.
The one that I found fascinating was veterans of all eras significantly yeah. below those nationwide, and I think speaks to that core strength that we know they have to offer. But sometimes that, and especially this is targeted towards within 7 years of their service mm-hmm. To really provide that one extra sweetener. It's a difficult, you know, both from federal tax credits and ones when we've pitched this program before. It is hard sometimes to say, would an employer have hired that veteran if only for the tax credit? Most employers are going to make the decision based on what the job is, what they're bringing, and then the gravy is that they came with a tax credit. But it begins to get that conversation going in terms of employing veterans. What do they bring? What do they offer? And we think that conversation is valuable to be raised.
Sure, go right ahead.
And how do we make employers aware of this?
Chair Lively, Representative Esquivel, members of the committee, I think it is through you have to have some connection to the employers, both private and public sector. And I think it is that the Leaver program does a good model, and I think it could be supplemented potentially with state. Other than a straight a program either through ODVA or the Employment Department, in my experience, it is connections and relationships that often build those bonds. So when you have someone that has that military and veteran experience and is hiring, they bring better understanding. See a mafia from, there's a mafia of the Oregon National Guard, there's a mafia of West Point and the Naval Academy. How do we essentially build that peer-to-peer mafia, but for veterans, where there is a mentor, a peer-to-peer mentor relationship, folks who have succeeded in business, nonprofits, or other government employment, making that hand, reaching back to the generations that are coming up and pulling them into the system. So I think some volunteer, there's an energy to tap into a sea of goodwill on volunteers that we haven't fully explored, separate and distinct from a program like the DVOPs and Leavers.
Maybe I can add to, in our area, we have what we call the veteran stand down. And part of that is an employment division special day for employers to come and see what all they can do. And then they can go to the stand down, too, and actually meet the people. But that's been really good. And I still have, my refrigerator is really old and ugly. And so I have all these things sticking on it, you know. And one of them right on the middle says, hire a vet. And I think I've had it since I had the refrigerator. So it's old.
And Chair Lively, members of the committee, I would just highlight on March 11th, I believe at the Salem Convention Center, we'll be hiring our heroes. It may be a great chance for you to check out different employers that are looking to hire, and then also veterans looking for employment as well. But a great partnership across the Chamber of Commerce, the Employment Department, federal, state, local, and different partners to help make those connections.
Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chair, in addition to everything that Cameron and his team is doing, there's also the opportunity to, if the tax credit is passed, to actually leverage the conversation through the CPA and the accounting side of the house so that it actually comes up the backbone of business to recognize that it's options as they're looking at the next year. So hopefully we can expand the conversation up the traditional route for tax credits as well.
Good. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Cameron, would you email us who, what, when, where, why, and how on that date on the 11th?
Certainly. We'll get it to committee staff.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Doesn't look like it. Thanks a lot for taking the time. Anybody else who wish to testify on House Bill 2839? I'll close the public hearing. Any other business to come before the committee? We have a few bills. We'll start figuring out how to work in the future, but we have also, obviously, more bills to hear. Any other questions?
Are we just not doing that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, the work session?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We're not. They're not ready to move, so.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Nothing else? Okay.
We're good. What's going on?
Okay, then. But I'm work session.
What's going on? It's not right.
Okay, then. But I'm